Today, I want to let you into a secret. There is a secret society in Bristol. It's so secret that most of its members don't even know that they're in it. It has no official membership. It has no official meetings. It doesn't have a premises. There's no membership fee or cards and no website. And yet, there are hundreds of thousands of members just here in Bristol alone, with new ones joining every day. Actually, it draws its members from all ages, all backgrounds, and from all over the world. It's a worldwide club. It's huge. And although you couldn't tell walking down the streets of Bristol, just by looking at someone, if they were in this club, in this society or not, the chances are that they probably are. Its name, I'll tell you, as long as you promise not to tell anyone else. The name of this secret society is the Sinatrians. The Sinatrians. They have a society motto. You've got to look after number one. You've got to look after number one. And it might surprise you to know they have a club song. I did it my way. It's the ultimate DIY religion, where everything is about me and everything is down to me. Today we're going to continue our series where we're looking at things that Jesus never said. Hence that song, which kicked the series off actually. He never said. And this morning we're going to look at this. He never said, Jesus never said, you've got to look after number one. He never said that. Now I want to tell you that there's something else that is common to the members of this club, this secret society. And it's this. Worry. They are all worriers. You know, I was on the train the other day and there was a mum who had a pushchair with a small person in it. Then there was another small person, a little boy of about 5 or 6, and he was whining and whinging and tugging at her jeans, and she was on the phone. Eventually, she just sort of put the phone away and said, "What is it?" And he looked up at her and said, "I'm very stressed." He's 6. I wonder this morning, what causes you to worry? What causes you to worry? To stress about? Many different things worry different people. For some it's money. For others it's health. For some it's jobs or lack of a job. Or their studies or their relationships. Moving away from home, coming to uni for the first time. Some worry about finding the right partner. Some worry about their children. Some worry about getting old. Some worry about the present situation, and some worry about the future situation that hasn't even happened yet. How many of us spend hours worrying about something that hasn't actually happened? At the end of the day, the truth is there is always something to worry about. isn't there? There's always something to worry about. And Christians aren't excluded from that. I bet if you thought about it for not very long, there are things that are worrying you this morning. You may have been able to leave them at the front door of the church when you came in, but when you leave, you're sure to pick them up again. They'll be waiting for you. And that's why I find this passage in Matthew 6 so important and so exciting, because I believe it's got within it what is the antidote to worry. This morning, we're going to hear from the mouth of Jesus the antidote to worry. So if you never ever worried about anything, you can go to sleep now. Just look at the language that Jesus uses in these few verses. Verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry." Verse 28, Jesus says, "Why do you worry?" Oh, verse 31, Jesus says, "So do not." Verse 34, "Therefore do not." Do you think God is trying to tell us something? You see, the Bible doesn't repeat itself like this without a very good reason. God is telling us to stop worrying. Yes, you might say, "Bob, I hear that. I understand all that theory." But it's easier said than done. I mean, I've got so many things to worry about. Now, some of the things that we worry about are very much secondary things. If you like, non-essentials. Which is why I believe that this passage focuses on three essential things that we actually all need. I mean, we all need something to eat, don't we? And you're in luck today if you need something to eat, because there's a free lunch afterwards for everybody. But we all need something to eat. We all need something to drink. We die without that. And we need something to wear, especially in the English climate. So the things that it's talking about in this passage are actually important and genuinely needed. These are not secondary things or optional things. These are primary things that we need. And that's not in question, which is why it says in verse 32, "For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." So, what is not in dispute here is that there are things that we actually need. Jesus isn't saying you don't need them. It's not the need that is in dispute here. It's what we do with that need. That's what is being questioned by Jesus in this passage. So what's it saying at the most basic level? Jesus is saying, people worry, stop it. That's what the passage is saying at the most basic level. People get worried, people worry, stop it. How can we stop it? Jesus gives the answer to that. It's a very simple answer that he gives. Stop worrying. How? Because God knows what you need and is able to provide it. In a nutshell, that's what the passage is about. That's what Jesus is saying. Stop worrying because God knows what you need and is able to provide it. I remember once I climbed a mountain. There's a very famous mountain called the Matterhorn, which is in Switzerland, with a kind of a kink at the top. And next to it is like a mini replica called the Klein Matterhorn, which is a similar kind of shape but not quite as high. And I once climbed that in a cable car. And When you get to the top of the cable car thing, there's a metal platform that you have to go up. And it sort of says all these kind of things like, go very carefully if you have a heart condition. There's no air up there. All those kind of things to welcome you. And the amazing thing is, when you get up to the top of this platform, there's a fence around it, but you can actually, you're there at the top of a mountain. And it's got all kinds of things that have been written on plaques. And I was amazed just how many of those things were about God. At the top of that mountain, in the majesty of that position, how many of the things that were written up there were written about God? The things I have seen teach me to trust the Creator for the things I have not yet seen. What a beautiful thing to write at the top of a mountain. The things I have seen teach me to trust the Creator for the things that I have not yet seen. Now, to understand this, that God knows what we need and is able to provide for those needs, that is easy. However, to incorporate that understanding into the fabric of our lives is incredibly difficult. I know I shouldn't worry, but how many folk have come to me and said, Bob, I know I shouldn't worry, but, and then all the worries tumble out. So I want to dig into this a bit deeper this morning. I don't want to leave it with a platitude. God knows what you need, so stop worrying. I don't think that's enough, because I might not be able to access that. It's a truth, it's a theory, but how do I access that? I want to dig at that now, if that's okay. So we leave here with some reality and with some life-changing stuff. So how do we stop worrying? How do we do it? Well, the first thing, I believe, is that it involves a shift in priorities. That's a choice. That is a choice. You and I have a God-given choice about where we put our priorities. You can choose. And the shift in priorities is moving away from looking after number one, which is most people's priority, isn't it? So it's a big shift. Looking after number one. If God knows what we need, and if God is able to provide for that need, then we are set free to concentrate on something else. That's what Jesus is coming around to saying in this passage. If God knows what we need and he's able to provide for that need, then we can stop worrying about that and we can concentrate on something else. What is it that Jesus wants us to concentrate? It's there in verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. But seek first his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I was unpacking that in my study during the week, and it seemed to be saying this: make his concerns your concern, and he will make your concern his concern. I think it's saying that. Is that right? Make his concern your concern, and he will make your concerns his concern. If we make God our priority, what he wants, then he will take care of the rest, now and for all eternity. It's actually about making God number one in our lives and our situation. It's about priorities, firstly, and then it's about trust. It's about trust. The antidote to worry is trust. The antidote to worry is trust. That's what the Bible says. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. It's just a simple thing to grasp, but an easy thing to forget to do. You see, we worry about something, whatever it is that you are worried about this morning. Now, if you say you're not worried about anything, then you get me worrying about your honesty. We turn it over in our minds and we try and find a solution or a way out to that thing. And we end up making Jesus the very last port of call in a stormy situation. What if all the time God is there and he knows and he understands and he feels for us? What if he's waiting for you and for me to talk to him about it? To hand it over to him? What if he's saying, my child, I know how much your heart is troubled. When will you trust me? When will you talk to me about it? When will you hand it over to me? For the Heavenly Father knows what you need. Just stop and think for a second how Jesus is described. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's living water. He's all that we need. And yet we choose not to come to him. He's all that. And yet we choose not to come to him. And instead, we struggle on in our own strength and end up getting totally drained of all resources. Worried, stressed, depressed. I believe that there are... No, I'm not going to say that. I know. Scrap the belief. I know that there are people in this church today who have been bouncing along the bottom, running on empty for days, for weeks, maybe for years. I know that. Weighed down with worry, desperately trying to look after number one and to do the right thing. And it's worn you out. And spiritually, your petrol gauge is... I wish it could get back in the red. It's empty. When was the last time you really truly experienced God doing something new in your life and your situation? The transforming power of Jesus at work. The real thing. When's the last time you experienced the real thing? The Jesus thing. The relief and release that comes from taking the weight off of yourself and putting it on to him. And then receiving his peace and his power in that, in place of it. If you like, allowing yourself to be freed and filled with the good things of God. God is good. He has good things to give to his children. That's who he is. I want to tell you that I believe that he loves us. He loves me. He loves you. He cares for us. He's there for us. And today, you can enter into his rest. Today, you can know his peace. Because he's there. And he's here. He's everywhere. He's here to encourage you, to draw alongside you, to empower you, to help you, to assist you, to affirm you, to enable you, to guide you, to fill you, to renew you, to free you, to forgive you, to love you. To replenish your strength, to give you hope, and to set you free from worry. It's about moving from a self-centered economy to a God-centered one. And it's as big a challenge now as it was when Jesus first said it in the days of Matthew 6. Which, of course, is today too. I wonder this morning, which economy are you living in? Are you living in the economy of it's all about me and it's all down to me? Or are you living in the economy of it's all about God and it's all down to him? Which one are you walking in? Which one are you living in? Because if you're living in the Sinatra one, I need to do it my way, with my resources, then I want to encourage you this morning to move. I want to tell you, actually, it is your God-given right to move. Matthew 11:28, come to me, move, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I don't think Jesus could have put it any clearer than that. Come to me, move. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the real truth. The real truth is it's actually turned on its head. Even if you did want to look after number one, the way to do it is by making him number one. Can you see that? Even if you did want to look after number one, actually the real true way of doing it is still to make him number one. And this morning I want to challenge you to trust him, to take him at his word. Do you want to be free from worry this morning? You're tired of being on empty and stressed all the time? You've had enough yet? Then will you let go? Will you hand it, whatever it is for you? I don't need to know. You can dial direct. Will you hand it over to him? Will you come to Jesus and find rest and release? It's about priorities. It's about trust. And it's about a move. Priorities, trust, and a move. It's about making a move towards God. And by doing that, that's what brings it out of the realms of being a theory into being a reality. That's the how. That God is really there. He's really, really there. And he wants to do something in your situation and in my situation. All those worries that you have held so close, perhaps for many years, those joy-stealing, energy-sapping, never-ending, no-solution worries, you can hand them over to him. You see, Jesus never said, you've got to look after number one. He said, make me number one, and I'll look after you. Now I'm going to stop there, and it's up to you to choose what you will do. It may be, as we go back into worship now, that you just want to sit there and do some business with God. It may be that you'd like to have someone to pray with you and for you. As we go back into worship, I'm going to ask the members of the ministry team if they would move over there to our filling station. You might notice that I've done a sneaky one and I've pulled all the posters down. I pulled all the posters down this week, which said ministry zone, and I did a picture of a petrol pump and filling station and slapped that on the wall. I get these turns sometimes. If you just need to be filled with God and you're on empty, go and get filled. You don't have to tell everyone your life story. You can go over there and you can say, I'm on empty. And there's going to be someone over there who will pray with you, simply that God will fill you. It may be that we will help you to just say to someone, I'm worried. You don't even have to tell them what you're worried about. They're not your solution. Dial direct. But they can help you. I'm really worried. They might say to you, don't tell me what you're worried about. Let's just ask God to come and be with you in that. Okay, so we're going to go into worship. The ministry team are going to move over there at the beginning of the worship. And then if you would like someone to pray with you, to pray for you, if you're empty and you just need filling up, just go over there. Or stay in your seats and do business with God there. You don't need a ministry team, but it helps me. Please don't sing some songs, have your lunch, go back out and pick your worry up on the way out. Because that's wasting Jesus' death. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Amen.